Thank you so much, Donna. What was that word? What, lens? Like as in L-E-N-S? Oh, how cute of me to say that, just so everybody would really get what the word was. I just amaze myself. I am so excited to be hanging out with each and every one of you and with all of you tonight. You know, this experience, this monthly talk to me and to Donna and to Eleanor it's like a really special experience of community, and I really experience our oneness. So with all that big yell that we made right up front about who we were and where we were from, I'd like to invite all of us to really, in this moment, absolutely feel the oneness that is here and that we have and share together. I'm very, very grateful that you're here. And as always, and it seems to happen a little bit more each time, all my words that I have, of course, so meticulously prepared, all my words are truly, truly like a verbal commentary on or background music to the ways that the mystery and the miracle and the magic of our oneness just invites into us, into our consciousness, into our experience through this hour together, just the most wondrous, wondrous blessing. And so I really invite you to the blessing that is this talk. You know, I'm especially excited to have us focus together today on a topic that's really quite dear to my heart, and that topic's about vision. And I'll mention again the topic or title of the talk, What Lenses Are You Looking Through? And I actually created a subtitle, which is, Your Vision Can Make the Total Difference. So as many of you know, I just completed writing a book that I'm obviously bragging about, that I've entitled Soul Vision, that's S-O-U-L, as opposed to S-O-L-E. Soul Vision, and it should be ready for print, I think, by about the end of the year. Well, the book's subtitle is something like, A Modern Mystic Looks at Life Through the Eyes of the Soul. Through the Eyes of the Soul. And my talk today is not really a summary of the book's contents by any means. Rather, in our precious time together, it's about the eyes through which we see. And today I'd like to invite us to take a real in-depth look at our vision of life, how we see the life that's within and around us. More especially, I want to invite you in this hour to the more specific question, what eyes or lenses are you looking through as you see or experience the life that's around you? Now, why do I ask this all-important question, you ask? Of course you ask it. I just heard you ask the question. Why would I ask if you didn't ask anyway? Why do I ask it? Well, the main reason that I formulated this question, besides the fact that our collective souls inspired me to do it, what lenses are you looking through? That's the question. The main reason is that what you and I see and experience depends almost completely on the filter or lens that we're looking through. And as we all well know, there are ample experiments scientifically that demonstrate how 20 people observing the same event actually report 20 differing and sometimes extremely differing versions of that event. That is, they see something different. And that's because I think all of them see what's happening through their own filters, through their own lenses, through their own attitudes, their own preconceived notions and beliefs, their own prejudiced or prejudged eyes. And also, we know from the findings and theories of quantum physics that there's truly no such thing as external reality. Reality, according to them, is a word we assign to what we see and experience when our consciousness projects its own created image onto like a make-believe invisible screen or virtual screen that appears to be the world around us. And in this regard, I found just an adorable quote from Fred Allen Wolf. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Fred Allen Wolf. He's a modern scientist who's created a series of simple little books about quantum physics, sort of like a quantum physics for dummies type series, in which he refers to himself delightfully as Dr. Quantum. And then he's got little drawings in there, which is why it appeals to me, because I'm still in the process of learning how to read. And he writes this, quote, there is no reality without the perception of reality. And in another place, he writes that, quote, it's our mind that creates the perception of reality. And then just to take that into the world of spirituality, the well-known spiritual teacher that I know you're all familiar with, Eckhart Tolle, in his book called The Power of Now, wrote that, quote, there is no objective world out there. Every moment your consciousness creates the world that you inhabit. End of quote. So the main point I'd like to present to your all, by now, all excited awareness is this. Reality, or the world around you or in you, isn't there in some objective sense. It's a perception that's created by you and by me and by all of us together and by life itself in each moment every day. And the nature of that creation depends totally on the vision that lies behind it, the vision that created it. And that's your vision, my vision, our vision, God's vision, the vision that life brings to it, all wrapped up into one. And now, to me, here's the exciting part. You and I are humanly capable of creating multiple realities because we have access to multiple visions. We can perceive through many sets of eyes. We can look through endless differing lenses. We can experience countless styles of perception. What I'm implying, of course, is that life or reality or the world that we create and experience is, like number one, it's a gigantic, innovative, creative, wondrous phantasm. It's an imaginative, make-believe world of pretend. It's a powerfully created, like, virtual playground. Just like, if you caught the opening ceremony of the Beijing 2008 Olympics, you saw this this gigantic virtual field right in the middle of the arena, the bird's nest, and it was like the size of a football field, and on it you saw people doing things with it that absolutely looked real, and yet it was 100% virtual. It just wasn't there in what we would call reality. And so I think that's a lot of what life is. It's a virtual playground. It's an ingenious display of our mind's innate, inherent power to create. So, as we, you and I, enter together into this theme of vision, I want to invite you to perceive and know yourself as the creator or creatress of your assumed reality. It's like you're the screenwriter who projects your vision out onto the movie screen that you see and we see and I see, and conceive yourself as the artist who paints on an empty canvas that color-filled painting called your life. So in other words, let's re-examine your life, your world, your reality, not as it appears on the outer screen or canvas, but through the lenses or the eyes through which you're looking. Now, I have just plopped down some notes about something that's really exciting. So I repeat the question. What kinds of lenses are available to you, to us? And I'd like to describe, and these are the notes I jotted down, every possible approach to life or set of eyes through which we can perceive what we call reality. And I'm guessing there are probably countless ones of them. But having said that, allow me to lead us briefly through four of those lenses, four of those perspectives, those sets of eyes. The first one is the lens of what I'd like to call our collective humanity. And we're all very familiar with this lens because from the time of our birth, we've been schooled and trained in its perspectives. For example, through this lens of life, life looks something like this. It's like the world is very real. It's quite important, you know. It's very much about individuality and individual achievement, and it brings with us focused purposes. It's possibly a pathway to an even bigger life following this one. Some traditions call that heaven. And it's about effective relationships. It's about personal fulfillment, intimate love. It's about meaningful achievement. It's about ongoing creation. And it's about us being here to make the most of the gifts we have and the circumstances into which we've been placed. This is the three-dimensional human world in which we appear to live. And frankly, I think it's a gorgeous, wondrous, beautiful, harmonious world. It's like a true Garden of Eden, as the Hebrew description would have it. But our collective human lens or set of eyes often doesn't make it easy for us to see that beauty or experience that perfection. Instead, through those eyes, we're primed to look at this sacred garden through the eyes of presumed problem or arbitrary judgment or assumed guilt. We evaluate this life based on a moral code, based on defined values and otherwise noble ideals, and the evaluation most often gives us a barely passing grade, and sometimes not a lot of happiness in the process. That said, though, I'd like to make the point anew that this collective human perception of life isn't reality. It's only like the overlay that we place on this creation of life because of and based on the collective human lens through which we're looking. Now, let me move to a second lens, a second out of the four I'd like to briefly describe, and that's the lens of energy. So if we look at life through the eyes of energy, we see a quite different picture. We see a world of whirling, swirling, moving, grooving flow. We picture, for example, like a giant dance floor, and life is the opportunity to learn and execute a lot of different dance steps as we move through life. Or we can see life as music, and living it is like singing a lot of different songs, having multiple musical experiences. Or sometimes we could see like life as breathing us, with everything we do being an expression of one of those magnificent breaths. Or, conversely, we could see life, see it this way, as us breathing life, with our every thought or action being us breathing and expressing ourselves out into life. Put it all together, we could see life as a moving, pulsing, vibrating, loving, creating act or series of acts through which life has the chance to renew itself, recreate itself, find itself anew, and each of us doing the same thing. Now, I've come to see, and I think many of us have, that even though in this three-dimensional experience we're specializing in specifically human expressions of this unlimited phenomenon called life, we are equally present to life's infinite allness. We're alive in it. We're influenced by. We're like an intimate part of life's potential-filled allness. And notice, if you will, the different tone of this energy-oriented set of eyes. Notice the absence of the evaluative, judgmental quality about what happens energetically. Notice, if you will, the naturalness, the going with the flow quality of the experience, the freedom to be in the flow, even to be the flow. Through this lens, the energy lens, life is mostly about creation because it keeps getting created and recreated through movement. And we're both the creator, or creatress, if you will, and we're the creative inspiration, and we're the creative act itself, and we're even the product or result of the creation. And even then, we get to go play in and with the creation. In short, through the eyes of energy, we're free to flow, free to play, free to move, free to enjoy the show all the time. Isn't that a cool set of lenses? So let's look at life briefly through a third lens, that which I've come to call, uncreatively I might add, the lens of the right brain. As you know, our right brain is our more poetic, our more pictorial, symbolic set of eyes. It's where we perceive not so much the supposed reality of the collective human lens, and not exactly the flow of the energy-oriented eyesight. Instead, it's where we picture life's deeper meanings, expressed through what we call symbols, and that's the big word. So, for example, I came up with these all by myself. I'm so proud of myself. The success of the American Revolution is a symbol of freedom. and the first ever launching or landing of a human being on the Earth's moon could be seen as a symbol of, like, breakthrough to new horizons. Or prayer might be seen as a symbol of hope put into expression. Or if we break our foot, that breakage could be a symbol of ending our old way of walking through life and stepping into the next phase of our life with freshness. I knew you'd be equally impressed with all of those. So, the life we picture through the eyes of the right brain has symbolic meaning, and living life is a somewhat like poetic adventure in which we move beautifully from meaning to meaning. And symbols are, would you believe, the language of those meanings. For example, let's suppose, and I apologize for this crude example, let's suppose you have a heart attack. And through your right brain's lenses, instead of moaning and groaning about that, that acute physical symptom could be experienced as a symbol of a powerful rite of passage. A rite of passage related, for example, because it's in the heart, to love. And it may symbolize a quantum leap that now allows love to create a bigger space in your heart, or the symbol of a gigantic step into a larger personal capacity on your part to love more deeply, more intimately, more fulfillingly. Note again the lack of judgment. The lack of judgment about the relative merit of the symbol, whether it's better, worse, healthy, unhealthy. Notice how easy it is when living life through this set of lenses to just be with what's happening, to see what's happening, to honor what's happening. There's a basic underlying respect for the ways in which symbols not only have meaning, but have purpose. And by golly, it can actually be fun playing in life's symbolic adventures. How about we move on to a fourth set of lenses right after I take this cute drink? This set of lenses is the eyes of the soul. Now, you just knew I was going there, didn't you? See, you know me too well. This is the point when I get to soul, this is the point at which I lose all self-control. It's where the soul of life just takes me over, and, well, you get the idea. Anyway, the fourth set of eyes is that of the soul. And through the special eyes of the soul, we see the complete perfection of it all. We see the exquisite beauty of each person. We see the radiant, light-filled splendor of creation. The exact rightness of each circumstance, no matter what it looks like through the eyes of our collective humanity or of our judgment. You know, I've often thought that looking at life through the eyes of the soul is exactly like seeing it through God's eyes. I sometimes, in fact, picture the divine source of us all looking at us from somewhere, and like a totally loving mother, seeing only the perfection and magnificence of this wondrous creation that we are. Yes, through our soul's eyes, we have the privilege of noticing the elegance of creation and how that elegance fills every space, how every speck and form of life reflects its divine heritage, our divine heritage, wondrously. Of noticing how precious, how lovable, how adorable you and I are, well, at least you, and how amazing, how sparkling, how delicious every breath of air is. So our soul's lens give us yet another perspective, a different type of experience from the other three, a unique style of vision, a powerful view of life. With this vision, the soul's, we not only don't experience the limitations of our typical human judgments, we have the utter freedom to enjoy each and every creation in its created fullness. We have the freedom to celebrate life's miraculous nature exactly the way God does. We have the freedom to play in the Garden of Eden with, frankly, unbridled joy, and to experience the most profound sense of inner peace possible. So, there we have it, four unique sets of lenses, four completely different types of vision, four powerfully compelling worldviews, four equally beautiful styles of creating, of viewing, of experiencing, of living in this imagined wondrous world of our creation, of your creation, our creation, life's creation. And you know, it's interesting to me, it's quite tempting in spiritual circles to evaluate these four styles of vision based primarily on our collective human judgments. And it's tempting to conclude that one lens is better than another, or one lens is less valuable or more valuable than the others. For example, how often have we heard spiritual teachers or read spiritual authors putting down the human mind or describing our judgmental left brain as like the bad guy or the spoiler in our quest to be more spiritual? Or note what a hit our poor human ego takes, ego, quote, as we so often vilify it because it supposedly holds us back from our inner peace or our desired state of nirvana. And what we're doing here, of course, when we do that, is we're implying and applying and imposing the experience of one set of lenses on and to all the other ways of experiencing life. And as a result, we sometimes deprive ourselves of the fullness and flow of those other gorgeous ways of living. So, and now I'm really building up to what I hope is like a major crescendo here, so you'll just be so impressed. So what I'd love to do here is invite all of us, oh yeah, you too, all of us, to a more comprehensive, blended, freer experience of life. And specifically, I'd like to invite you and me to open ourselves to all four of these lenses, to embrace the gifts of each and every one of these four viewpoints, to live each of them fully and powerfully, or to say it another way, not to exclude any of them from our embrace. After all, it seems silly to me at least, but then I'm a fairly silly guy, unlike thyself, I might add. It seems a little silly to reject any of them, even if we're like in the midst of struggling to figure it out or trying to make it work for us. Sometimes we tend to reject it, but we all know that so long as we're fighting anything, rejecting anything, trying to separate ourselves from anything, even a worldview, even a set of eyes to look through, it will continue to stay alive within our consciousness. And the reason it stays alive, I deeply believe, is not for the sake of making our lives miserable or perpetuating the battle. No, I think it stays alive as an invitation for us to accept it, to be at peace with it, to find its rightful place among all the other lenses through which we're looking. And believe it or not, the evaluative lens of our collective humanity is the perfect complement to the other lenses. For example, the lenses of our energy, our right brain, our soul. It's the perfect complement. In fact, it's only when we fully accept this three-dimensional human world through all four of these views. It's only when we allow the blend of the collective human, the energetic, the right brain, and the soul's vision. It's only when we open ourselves to life's multifaceted, multidimensional, comprehensive ways of seeing and living it that it starts to feel right, that it begins to integrate into a more comfortable experience, that it actually brings us to a peaceful, positive ability to celebrate life fully. So, please hear from me in these words a personal invitation. Yep, one delivered right here and now, at this moment. It's an invitation, and I'm going to say it three different ways. Number one, to be at peace with your judgments. Whether those judgments are about your body and its symbolic symptoms, note the symbols, whether it's about your human life and its presumed messiness, whether it's about your personal emotional conflicts and pains, whether it's about anything. So number one, be at peace with what those judgments are. Make peace, make love, not war. Number two, an invitation to find a place of comfort with your human ego, with your personality structure, with your human style, even if it looks weird, flawed, defective, or whatever. And trust me, you look terribly weird to me, but what the heck? Even I accept you and find a place of comfort with you. Can you imagine? Oh, it's so hard. Forgive my weird wit. or don't, as you prefer. Third, this is an invitation to open yourself to accept, even maybe to embrace, every seemingly illogical part of yourself or of others, every apparently strange circumstance and condition of your life, everything that your trained brain might describe to you as threatening or uncomfortable or unsafe. It's an invitation to embrace that as a friend, to welcome it as a part of yourself that was a part that was maybe like separated from you and wanting to return into your heart. You know, just like twins or siblings separated at birth yearn to reunite at just the perfect moment. And maybe this is your perfect moment. So those three invitations, be at peace with your judgment. Find a place of comfort with your human ego and personality style. Open yourself to accept, even embrace, every seemingly ridiculous part of who you are. And you know what? It is safe. It's safe to do that. It's safe to embrace. It's safe to look at your life as your own multifaceted creation, a life that, number one, is created by your own soul and by the soul of life, a life created perfect, beautiful, created Garden of Eden-esque. Yeah, it's now a word. I'm going to blow this thing by telling you. I am so excited about this word, Eden-esque. I came up with that as I was sitting this afternoon preparing this, and I went right to my spell check on my computer, and you know where it gives you options for how to make this into the right word because it's not in the dictionary. I put add to dictionary, so my dictionary now has Eden-esque in it. So let me try to recapture this now that I've totally blown it with my own fantasy. So it is safe to look at your life as your own creation, a life, number one, created by your soul, created perfect, beautiful, and it's a brilliant, peaceful, perfect life that you and I can access through the pure lens of our soul. And it's a life, number two, created by life's symbolic richness, the symbols, created figuratively meaningful, symbolically alive, poetically powerful. It's a world of pictorial meaning that's accessible to you and me every day through our right brain. And third, it's a life created by our own creative energy and life's creative energy. Yes, created as a magical ride through the energetic waves of emotion and movement, vibration and power. Created to be the ride of our lives, to serve as the pulsating, generating, empowering, inventive dance of all dances, song of all songs, experience of all experiences. And we, you and I, have the privilege of accessing and living that life through the lens of our energy. And fourth and finally, it's safe to look at your life as a creation of our personal and collective human consciousness, created with a big focus on your individuality, your ego, your mind, your evaluative and values-driven capacities. Yes, it's a world in which you compare yourself to others, then evaluate the comparison. So let's just go with it. It's a set of eyes through which you and I take it all seriously, and we play the game as though winning is all important and losing is a terrible tragedy. And we have the pleasure of seeing and living this life fully through the generous lenses of our collective humanity. Whoa! My deepest belief, actually for some time now, has been this, that the main reason that this human experience hurts so much and is so painful to us is because we've somehow gotten lost in its seemingly singular web or lens. Because we've cut ourselves off from the other, in this instance, three important perspectives. Because we've so specialized in the human set of eyes that we've forgotten that we come to Earth custom designed with multiple eyes. So I was thinking about that this afternoon, and I thought, well, let's make up a metaphor here. Or come to think of it, maybe it's just an analogy. Or maybe it's just a cute little inventive picture anyway. Let's say it this way. We're born with two eyes in the front of our head. You're going to love this. This is like so cute. Two eyes in the front of our head so that we can really see and do the duality thing. See the duality of life, the life of our collective human set of eyes. Then, let's say that we have another set of eyes in the back of our head. You know, just like that teacher in elementary school who saw what you were doing, even though his or her face was facing the board and you were in back of him or her. Oh, that was embarrassing. And these back of our head eyes are for seeing the meaningful symbols of life. The second set of lenses. And third, let's say we have another set of eyes, maybe located throughout our body or in our corporeal cells or maybe even in our chakras. And these eyes allow us to see and live our energetic makeup, the world of energy, fully and dynamically. And finally, we have soulful eyes located maybe right in the middle of our heart. And these eyes show us the absolute perfection, the wonder, the beauty of life. Now, with this make-believe vision of our four different sets of eyes that are somehow ingrained in our human makeup, we have just totally unscientifically demonstrated as an absolute made-up fact that we are born powerfully designed, creatively engineered, and expertly configured to live a fourfold experience of life simultaneously, soulfully, symbolically, energetically, humanly. We are not locked out of any of these complementary perspectives at all. In fact, we're primed and designed to enjoy them all. So, may I repeat the question that served as the title of our time together today? What lenses are you looking through? What lenses do you usually look through? What lenses do you allow yourself to look through? You know, I have come to believe, and you know, I'm not much on beliefs, but every now and then I pamper myself and I jump into them. And I truly believe that one of the greatest human secrets we have, you know, those secrets that are locked into the treasure chest of our heart, until just the perfect moment for them to be discovered, and then once we discover them, we say, duh, I could have had a V8. But one of the greatest of these human secrets is that we're both human and divine together. We're earthly and universal at the same time. We're three-dimensional and multi-dimensional simultaneously. We're material beings and light beings, limited and expansive selves, visible and invisible, all at the same time in the same place. In short, we're every expression of life, and all of it is available to us right now through many lenses, multiple eyes, divergent visions. So what lenses are you looking through? I'm going to wend our way to the conclusion with just an experiential walkthrough. And I invite you to let your mind's thought processes so just move quietly into your energy's embrace, then merge with your symbolically rich inner world of meaning, and finally become one with your soul's deep truth of perfection. And I'd like to lead us on a gentle journey. Actually, it's a pretty multiple layered experience of these four worlds, or better said, these four versions of the same world, all wrapped up in a unified whole. And this experience will be, I apologize, ever too brief. In fact, much more brief than you deserve to have. So feel free to go back later and do it on your own with more time. First, picture yourself sitting or standing above the forest of this human experience, getting ready to look down into that forest that we call life. And you look right in front of you, and all of a sudden you notice four sets of lenses, or maybe eyeglasses, or even binoculars as you prefer, and you decide you're going to pick them up one at a time and look through them. And right now you reach down, you pick up the first set of lenses, and you choose which one all by yourself. No need to take a lot of time with it. And you raise it up to your eyes, and you start looking through it, down into the forest, and you see life creating itself and living out that creation according to the ways that that set of lenses allows you to see, and you're the only one at this moment who knows which set that is. And you just take a half a minute and you look at what's on the screen, or what's in the forest, or what the creation is like. And you just sort of let yourself get wrapped up in that perspective, in what that set of eyeglasses, if you will, allows you to see. Then you decide to put that lens down. And you do that, and you fairly quickly pick up a second one. And you notice which one that is. And now you place that in front of your eyes and hold it there. And again, you look into the forest, and by golly, you notice a pretty different picture, another unique look, a special experience that seems different, a second style of life. And at first, it may be a little hard to believe that this is the same world, the same life as you saw through the first set of lenses, but sure enough, it is, except that it's seen from a different angle, if you will, from a fresh perspective. Now, when you feel like it, just return that lens to its place among the four lenses, and when you get around to it, pick up the third set of lenses, again, whichever one you want. And you place this set of lenses now in front of your eyes, and again, look down into this intriguing forest, kind of waiting to discover what you're going to see. And now only to notice a very different-looking scenario. Again, you may be surprised, could be, even amazed, that this world looks so other, quote-unquote, than the previous one. This is an interesting world, you might think to yourself, seemingly totally self-contained, looking the way it looks, but maybe it's not complete without the others. So you say to yourself, I think I'll investigate the fourth set of lenses and see what's going on through those eyes. So you do exactly that, and now you set the third set of lenses back into their place, and you easily pick up the fourth set, place them before your ready eyes, and go about the next adventure, the next exploration of life. And there it is, a fourth vision. Another different experience, another compelling, remarkable life to be lived. Again, you're a bit in awe as you now prepare to put those lenses down. But, you know, as you return the last lens to its place, you notice something different. There appears to be a fifth set of lenses sitting right there. Actually, a set that's much larger than any of the first four. Funny, you think, that I never saw these lenses earlier. I wonder if they just appeared here now. So you reach down and you pick them up, and you notice that even though they're larger than the others, gee, they're much lighter. And you put them in front of your eyes, and as soon as you look into them, you see a remarkable sight. You see the blending of all four of the previous worlds. Sure enough, right now you're looking at a world equally created by the soul, by the right brain, by the power of energy, and by the spirit of our collective humanity. And amazing as it is to behold, it all fits together like a glove. Like four dimensions combining into one, like four sets of eyes becoming one unified vision, like every perspective overlaying on all the others and merging together, and the indescribable miracle of unity happening. I wish that I could be your eyes looking at that right now. In conclusion, thank you so much. Thank you for being so open, not only to this broader comprehensive perspective of life that we've discussed, but especially for being open to your innate capacity to access life in such an expansive way. And as we conclude, may I share with you a poem that I wrote recently, and I must apologize to those of you in the mentoring group with whom I just spent last weekend for having to hear this one more time. You see, I read it to them just yesterday. So here it is for your enjoyment, for your entertainment, for your expansion, and actually as a special blessing. And you'll notice that it's written overtly through the lenses of life's energy, but actually it holds within its movement all the other three lenses. It's entitled The Dance of Life, and it goes like this. Imagine this, among the infinite worlds and universes of life, a single solitary planet is reserved for dance, for the alive, vibrant, exciting, pulsing, sparkling, dazzling, refreshing, delightful, energizing dance of life. Who wouldn't come to such an enticing planet? Once invited as an honored guest to this passionate dance of life, who wouldn't choose to attend this fun, gleeful, crazy party just when your little inner voice told you you could use a little fun? So welcome to the ball. Come in. Enjoy this outrageous planet in its wild movement and compelling sway. Make yourself at home on the dance floor of touching emotion. Find pleasure in the intimate dance of heartful love, in the sensual tango of energetic passion, in the serene waltz of nature's elegance, in the moving rumba of primal intensity, in the inspiring ballet of life's beauty. How she moves and sways, glitters and glows, senses and feels, breathes and blows, this planet of dancing, swirling, twirling ecstasy. How exquisite her body, bending willingly to the sun's mighty touch. How inspiring her soul, impressing its grace into her very winds. How delightful her spirit, flowing lovingly through her animated senses. Let's surrender to her party's embrace. Let our hair down, way down, as the spirit of the dance takes us over. Let's find our souls inviting movement, open our bodies' rusty valves, unleash our psyche's unbridled force, and let loose with our endless might. We've come to the dance, yes, the dance of life, a dance like no other, ah, the dance of life. Thank you so very, very, very much.